Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing Cloak and Dagger Season 2, Episode 5, Alignment Chart.
All that right after this. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
Hey, buddy.
How's it going, sir?
It's pretty good. I watched a little Cloak and Dagger. How about you?
Yeah, I waited like a week to watch Cloak and Dagger. That's through no fault of Cloak and Dagger.
No fault of Cloak and Dagger, but mostly the fault of Avengers.
Absolutely the entire fault of Kevin Feige.
Yes, we've been inundated with tons of new Avengers feedback and talking and online stuff going on. Just been really busy with that. So we're finally getting to sit down and do a Cloak and Dagger episode. So let's talk Cloak and Dagger. We're going to make it a quick one because we also have a big old Avengers feedback episode to record. So,
Yeah, all right. It's rough.
So, what did you think of this episode, my friend?
This episode, sir, was stellar. Like, okay, so at the end of the last episode, you think, oh my God, how is this going to, like, how do we deal with Connors coming back?
Right. Yeah. It's a very fearful ending.
Right. It's so scary.
Yeah.
And then they just completely turn that on its head.
Yes. Yes, they do.
I'm worried about spoilers. Do we get into spoilers now or not?
Yeah. Let's go ahead and do a spoiler alert for season 2, episode 5 of Cloak and Dagger. We're talking the whole episode.
It's like a week late, but sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, they completely turned it on its head. Like at this point, you know, he's fearful that he's not going to get to repent or you know, pay his debt to society for being such a bad person. Like that deepest fear scene when Ty had him like around the throat over the edge of the upper level of the church, and like when it flashed to him just not being able to put cuffs on, so good.
Yeah, it was really good. Actually, we haven't seen him use his fear powers in so long. I kind of forgot they existed.
Yeah. I feel like Ty kind of did too.
Yeah, right? Like
he's just like, I can teleport. I don't need to touch people.
Yeah, well, that's what's been so, I think what's really cool about the first season is they use those powers in sort of a balanced way. And I do feel like we kind of forgot they had those powers for a little while here. And maybe for effect, I think sometimes when you can tell everyone's motivations, it cuts out some of the drama. So they sort of like let those powers go to the wayside sometimes. I mean, like, this episode would not have been nearly as impactful if we'd known the entire time what Connors was thinking.
Right.
If Ty were playing it smarter, he would have touched him way sooner.
Yeah. If he had, like, you know, been like, you know what? I do have this mind-reading power. Like, it may not work the same way as, like, your standard mind-reading power, but it's still a mind-reading power. It will help discern the information that I need to be able to make a good decision.
And between the two of them, they can tell his hopes and his fears. So it's like, surely they could have discerned something. But they just don't even think to do that. It's more like, I'm teleporty, you're stabby. Let's just keep moving. Yeah.
Let's just deal with that.
So this whole Viper story that Tandy is telling throughout the whole episode, I think it is supposed, at least throughout the episode, you think it's about Ty and Connors.
Yep.
Which I think it's still supposed to be. But I don't know. The end of this episode is really strange. At first, I thought we were getting some sort of flash forward, like we were flashing forward a few years or something. But then her father's there, so I guess it's just her hopes or like her dream, something that she wants.
Yeah, it's her like fever dream as she's gassed up and in the back of the ambulance.
Yeah, that's dark.
It really is. Like, okay, but I wanted to say specifically about that. I was getting kind of tired of the whole, like, let's jump out of time a little bit to tell the story, you know, have somebody talking some shit about, you know, saying something that doesn't make sense right now, but, you know, they're getting through the story to have it make sense by the end of the episode. We'll just break it up just enough. Like, I was getting kind of tired of that because that happened a lot in the last season. And it's, you know, we're 5 episodes in. It's happened a couple of times this season, too.
Yeah, they love the nonlinear storytelling, which I also love nonlinear storytelling generally, but you can definitely overdo it.
But then, at the turn, at the end of it, the crux, if you will, of the episode, it's all in her head. That whole speech and the story and everything was all in her head, in her dream, as she's being carted away. So it's not actually like her telling a story to anybody and you know, there being some big revelation to anybody. She's just talking to herself.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was amazing.
Yeah, it was definitely a different turn. I did like that it was something a little different for this episode. And they did still do some interesting, like, kind of non-linear storytelling. They do a really good job on this show of giving you a context and then, like, context switching back and forth between two scenes. I forget what it was this episode, but there was, like, a scene where she's facing off with those criminals, I believe. Yep. It was, and he's in the middle of with those pimps, I believe they were, and he is in the middle of a battle trying to get the file, trying to do a file heist.
Yeah.
They did a really good job. Like, you're just constantly back and forth and back and forth, and he's fighting with Connors, and then she's like having an actual physical fight with those pimps, and I don't know, just really well done.
I don't know that they were necessarily pimps, but it was definitely a drug ring at the very least.
Well, I think that one guy was he used his girlfriend as a prostitute to keep his people happy or whatever.
Yeah.
So, of course, it ended up at the end. She was in on it. She's still in on it. She's still...
Yeah, that's the look of it, is that she's in on it, and she's... Like, I guess what we're led to believe is that she is kind of the scout, like, figuring out who's the most vulnerable and able to be taken.
Yeah. Man, that's some dark stuff. This show, you know, again, dealing with, like, some real world, real dark problems. And it's cool.
Yeah.
It's good.
I'm kind of torn on where they're going to go with that specific detail. Because I have a feeling that Tandy is going to kind of just tear the whole thing down, right?
She's going to try. Well, she did try, but she's been captured now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what I mean is, like, while in captivity, I have a feeling that she's going to either tear the whole thing down or call Ty to have him come help her. Or, you know, he's going to happen upon her in some way, kind of be directed toward her by whatever divine presence that has been, you know, directing him to where he needs to go. So I have a feeling that she and he are going to end up taking this thing down, and she's going to circle back to Leah, and Leah is either going to be, you know, she's either going to be the ringleader of it, which I think is where they're going to go, or Leah is going to have planned this the whole time to have Tandy go in and bring the whole thing down, because she knows that Tandy can do it. Tandy's strong enough to fight through and bring it all down.
Mm.
Because she, you know, she wants the whole thing to be dismantled.
Oh, I see. So you think her... No, I see. It seemed the way she, electrified Tandy and put her in that machine, it seems like she's very much still in on it. I don't think she's, like, sending her in to take it down, but, you know, maybe.
Well, I say that because when she was tasing her, you know, she said, sounds like a plan, because Tandy was saying, you know, you just have to take away their power. You have to be stronger than them and take away their power in order to finish or to make them stop being a bully.
And yeah,
it looked like she had kind of that apologetic look in her face and in her eyes.
Oh,
as she said, that sounds like a plan.
That's not how I took it. I took it as
I'll take away your power.
Yeah, exactly. It was just, yeah. And it was very much like just her villain turn.
Yeah, I mean, it could be, but that seems real mustache twirly.
See, the interesting thing about having these real world, real life sort of issues like, human trafficking is these are real people that do these things. Like,
yeah.
They do it for money or for power or for drugs or whatever. And, like, yeah, they're mustache twirly because they're just generally bad. But, like, it's not that mustache twirly. It's just there are people that do these things, you know?
Yeah. Well, just the line of, like, aha, sounds like a plan. I will take away your power.
Right.
You know, it seems a little heavy-handed toward the villainy.
It definitely seems a little quippy for, like, yeah. Like villain quippy, which is, I think, just more like stylistic for the show. I don't think it was really saying anything about her motivations to be evil or whatever.
Yeah. We'll see. We got 5 more episodes of this show.
Yeah. Awesome. I'm excited about that. We got 1 feedback for Cloak and Dagger. Mr. Jake Brook, you want to read that?
Yeah. He says, Cloak and Dagger Season 2, Episode 5. Great episode. Felt like they may have been rushed a bit to start, but the build-up to the end twist worked beautifully. I gotta admit, I'm getting a little tired of Tandy manipulating Ty. I feel like a lot of her problems would solve themselves if she just trusted and communicated with him. Do you guys think the good guy from the shelter is in on the whole abduction thing? Now that we know the group lady, don't remember her name, now that we know that the group lady is, I wouldn't be surprised. Again, great music with the lyrical nod to Mayhem. God, the show is good.
Yeah, I really liked that Mayhem song. I feel like whoever was making the show was just like, search their database of songs for songs that had Mayhem in it.
Right. Control F lyrics, Mayhem.
Yeah. I don't think the guy is part of the human trafficking ring. I thought that for a minute, but I think we were supposed to think that he was a possible source for these, underprivileged girls or whatever. And then it turns out it's Leah. They're playing on our stereotypes that it's going to be a guy. And then it ends up being Leah, and you're like, that's the twist.
What woman could do this to other women?
Yeah, but that's the point. That's why it's a little bit of a twist on the old story. It's a little twist on that old human trafficking story.
It's a story you may have heard before.
All right, guys. Well, I think that's about all we've got for Cloak and Dagger. I'm excited for next week. It's been good. You may be new to the show because you're joining us because of all this Avengers Endgame stuff. We also cover all of the Marvel TV shows. So if you are wanting to check out more Marvel TV, we talk about all of it. Cloak and Dagger has been really good. It's in its second season. It's on Hulu. And it is in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Now, how they're going to deal with the Snapchat, we'll see. Not so sure they're going to deal with it, but it has been connected to things that have been connected to the Avengers universe, so we'll see. All right, thanks so much, everybody. We are the Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast. Hit us up at mcucast.com, at mcucast on Twitter, facebook.com/mcucast, mcucast@gmail.com, or call us at 573-CAST-MCU. We'll be back with you a little bit later tonight, actually, with more Marvel talk. We're going to be talking Avengers Endgame feedback.
Until next time, true believers.